Hey, what's going on? This is the Educated Guest Podcast, and I'm Justin, your host. Hey, if this is your first time listening, then thank you for taking the time to join in this movement. Most people who tune in regularly are artists and designers who are seeking a transformational style of education. So if you're someone currently looking to start a studio, or you're pursuing a career as a full-time artist, or just trying to get the job of your dreams, then you are in the right place. The good news is that there is some method to the madness. We're not just randomly talking about things. We have three episode types, which includes our well-known series of dialogues entitled Well Read. Our three segments collectively answer questions regarding personal development, professional practice, and artistic inspiration. And as you might have heard, our current summer lecture series is brought to you in part by Salonier, a brand new trend and philosophy platform by the design studio Bodega. Now, let's face it, if you've been in business a while, then you know how strange it feels to talk to clients and partners about trends. Most people just avoid the conversation altogether, because they have no way of defending or standing up for any creative decision they make. As you know, this frustration alone can cost you clients, retainers, referrals, and the list kind of goes on. So that said, how would you feel if I told you that you could access the exact research methods, frameworks, and insights used to help clients like Nike, High Stability, and Business of Fashion think through their strategy? This is what Salonier is all about. The fact is that marketing and brand directors pay loads of cash every year for these same insights, and Salonier is making them available to you for just a fraction of the price. Good news is that just for Educated Guest listeners, Salonier is offering a special discount code. So if this sounds like something you need, then just head to salonierpaper.com and enter the promo code EducatedGuest20 to receive 20% off your subscription. Again, that's salonierpaper.com and enter the promo code EducatedGuest20 to receive 20% off your subscription. All right. Today, we're going to be talking about the passionate delusion, or the illusion of passion. And it's kind of a blend of two different topics, and I'll cover the other in a different lecture. But it's worth mentioning that there is this this pervasive delusion of calling that I've been introduced to lately. And I never knew why I perhaps felt the way I had been feeling about the work that I'm interested in doing and the concept of work altogether until this was sort of introduced to me. And essentially, it dates back to a quote from Bertrand Russell. And if you're not familiar with Bertrand Russell and you're interested in philosophy, then he's somebody you need to know. That said, the quote is, "One of the symptoms of approaching nervous breakdown is the belief that one's work is terribly important," end quote. So if we start here with this story, and we start here with this context, then it begs the question about what is our work truly about? Most people, when asked the meaning of life, or they're asked, like, what do you want to do? Or if they're internally grappling with some questions as an artist, as a designer, particularly early in your career, and I really think, like, there's checkpoints in your life that you re-ask the same questions. Most of these have to do with this idea of waiting for a calling, waiting for a divine intervention, waiting for a profound passion explanation, so to speak. And for some, that may come. And for others, it never comes. And for some, it comes and they follow it. And they stake everything, their whole existence, on the need to succeed in that way. And we often talk about a lot of the moments of people succeeding. We talk about a lot of the moments of people recognizing that they're living in full alignment, and that's something completely I'm on board with. Yet, what I'm realizing is, the success never really comes until you detach yourself from it. until you detach yourself from the need to exist in some future version of yourself that is better than who you are now, you never really reach that ecstasy that you're looking for. You know, it's often said in Eastern teaching that the very thing that you push away still holds you. And the very thing you reach for moves away. I can't help but think about the principle of magnetism, positive and negative ends needing each other, and the positive positives pushing away from each other. If you've ever had two magnets and try to push the positive sides towards each other, there's some invisible force, which is in reality like quite remarkable, that just keeps the two from wanting to connect. So the question here is, for each of us as artists, as designers, how attached have we become to a self-image that we have imagined since childhood? How attached have we become to a particular outcome related to our craft? How attached have we become to our craft as an explanation for who we are? And I know where you're coming from. I've been there before, and oftentimes I go back to that place where your craft becomes all the explanation for you. If you're not that great with words, then you paint. If you're not that great with imagery, then you write. If you have a tough time talking, then you sing. These are the reasons why we communicate in the way that we communicate. Yet, I think we can lose ourselves in this pursuit of this flow state. We can lose ourselves in this pursuit of wanting the perfect career, wanting the perfect examination of our life to be through a lens of how will they think of us? Will they think of us as artists? Will they think of us as innovator? Will they think of us as creator, as inventor? And it's still rooted in that, because we are concerned with what we should call ourselves. Should we call ourselves an artist? Should we call ourselves a designer? Should we call ourselves a musician? Should we call ourselves a painter, an architect? What's our title? And the more we begin to attach ourselves to a title, then our pursuit becomes only in service to that end goal. But if you think about it, it's a lot like reaching for air, or it's a lot like pushing water upstream. You know, if you're trying to push water up a hill, how successful will you be in gathering all that you hope to bring with you to the top? And that's a lot like, that's what it's like to pursue something as your calling, as your passion. So if this feels like something you've been wrestling with, if you feel like all of your time has been dedicated to being a painter and you want to step fully into your purpose, then consider instead, what are you curious about in the world? You know, I was talking last night, matter of fact, about two of my passions, right? Like I first was introduced to playing trumpet in fourth grade, and I now know three instruments. So I was 10 years old when I first learned how to read music and play music. And if you can imagine, now I'm 27. By the time this comes out, I might be 28, but as I'm recording this, I'm 27. And if you imagine these things that you want to do, music, I've been playing golf since I was 7. So if you imagine, God willing, that we're able to live until we're 77, that's 70 years of passionate tension. And there's a tension that comes with the things that call us. So I would advise you, as you kind of examine where you are in your career, to examine why you're interested in the thing that you're interested in. If you're interested in being a designer, what's the curiosity that's driving that? What's the curiosity that's driving your architectural pursuits? What's the curiosity that's driving your graphic design pursuits, your business entrepreneurship pursuits? I think you'll learn a lot more from that than waiting around for your passion to arrive. Till next time, peace.